council's risk profile. So, Dave, are you going to lead on this?
Yes, Chair. As we've also said, the fourth update in this financial year, and the last as well, the next one will not be until May. What I'll do is I'll just take you through the main points on each of the risks, starting on page F1 with the financial resource risk. Although a overall spend, particularly for the council offices, is stated this is susceptible to various risks, floating bridge being one of those issues. I want to bring that up again, but also helped very much by something that the deputy leader just mentioned, the very tight financial management in adult social care, which is, I think, to overspend might just a couple of thousand pounds, which is, you know, quite a phenomenal way for something there. On page F2, our risk regarding an insufficient staffing capacity and skills states sickness absence remains within tolerance of targets, and I think there will be more details of that in the corporate performance management report, which will be seen at Cabinet shortly. The voluntary turnover of staff is pretty static and comparable to other similar neighbours, so we aren't having people sit around the door in droves, or nor are we not having people move on to other things. We're kind of quite normal there. With regard to education, exam results, again, more detail will be forthcoming in future performance reports, both in QPMR and with colleagues in children's services. Key stage 2 results and GCSE results. I wanted to close the gap marginally on some key measures. The percentage of schools that are good or outstanding is on the rise as well. There was a recent Oxford inspection of St. Thomas Canterbury Primary School in Newport, which has turned around from being special measures to good in a very, very short period of time, I think about 2.5 years, which is exceptionally quick. With regard to children's safeguarding risk, which is on page F4, there is an awful lot of detail provided by children's services, which I'm not going to go through all of this, a couple of main points. There's a very low vacancy rate for social workers now, which has improved over the last few years. Less reliance on agency workers, which obviously keeps salary expenditure down as well, agency workers being more expensive resources than permanent staff. Continuation of extensive fire audits, obviously, is, I think, part of business as usual in children's services. What this does is provide an excellent way of continually improving and continually learning from the lessons there. The Director of Adult Social Care has flagged a new risk for this report, for this quarter, which is regarding the failure to provide acceptable quality of professional practice across adult social care. The reason for this, really, even taking into account excellent progress in adult social care in terms of some very key performance areas, there's been obviously a recent poor inspection results at a residential care home. There's also another example provided regarding a number of people who receive services under Section 117 of the Mental Health Act. Now, I don't claim to be in any way an expert on Section 117, but the issue seems to be that a lot of people subject to care under that act have not had their care reviewed for some time. And there is a program being put in to address this so that those outstanding reviews are done fairly soon. Also, there are quite a high number of outstanding deprivation of liberty cases, but there is an action plan in place there, and there has been a tender issued for an outstanding agency to help with the backlog, and we should see genuine progress with that, progress with that over the next few months. The new risk has been scored as a high risk, but as stated, this should reduce good progress on both Section 117 reviews and DOLS assessments. So hopefully when I come reduce quite rapidly. The next risk regarding safeguarding. Since the last review, safeguarding action plans in place has seen some quite significant progress, most significantly the introduction of daily MASH meetings. Now, I often get told off by head of resources for not actually explaining that acronym, but it's multi-agency safeguarding, where members of staff from out of social care, and from the police, and from partners in health discuss daily individual safeguarding cases, so that there isn't the need for emails passing back and forth, and action can be put in very, very quickly. And they've been fairly successful, and they're held up at Enterprise House every day, and I believe there are plans to move those meetings down to County Hall to make it easier for other partners to attend. First risk on page 7 regarding securing the required outcomes in the integrated plan of social care and health. There continues to be excellent performance regarding delayed transfers of care from hospital with out of social care and NHS, and therefore in combination all targets being met. Bear in mind the time of year that we are in, there are always significant winter pressures, so to keep that performance below the target set for us naturally is a significant achievement. And the score for that risk has actually been reduced on that basis. The payoff, although unfortunately I stated in the explanation, is some of the day-to-day business of our social care suffered a bit of a boost, and the number of reviews being undertaken in December was slightly below par, but I'm not going to have the figure in front of me, but I think if you compare that figure in December of last year, I think you're still found that's much higher in the same period. So I would expect that generally that will return to more of a normal figure. Moving on to second risk on page 7 regarding the council's contractual relationships, regarding PFI and risk. The most significant thing to note, although Bill has made some points today, the progress in the recovery facility on the Forest Road, which if you drive out that way you can't come to notice, but the Environment Agency has granted the relevant permits. So I believe machinery is up being installed very, very soon. The risk regarding the island's economy has been reduced. Obviously, the progress on so many regeneration projects is to be noted. And the other thing to note is how the regeneration directorate is behind working with all other council services. So effectively, the regeneration is something that all council services are asking themselves about now. And it's not just a separate department managing all of those things. The explanation also points out that the visitor economy has been on the islands, it's remaining strong, which other resort towns in the country are not seeing the same kind of results, and I have seen some reductions in that area over the last few years. Finally, the risk that's owned by the chief executive. The suggestion is this risk may well be affected by the results of the peer challenge, be announced shortly, but that will also be a good yardstick on any progress against achieving the vision in the corporate plan. We shall stop talk through it, and happy to take some questions. If I can answer them, I will, otherwise I'll take them away to the relevant risk owner.
Thank you very much, Dave. Who would like to start? Julie, and then Paul.
Thank you very much for this report. Quite interesting reading. I'll just bring to talk about the agency staff situation with the children's services. What's the story with adult social care with use of agency staff, please, Dave, if you think?
I don't have the exact answers to the figures on me. The work I do with adult social care was just there was a much less reliance on agency staff currently. But I'm happy to
I will be interested because it's so important. We've seen over the years the movement we've made to have, you know, our own teams in place, better outcomes obviously for our clients and also finance as well. You know, there's not been a lot about that. So it would be interesting to have a little bit of a look at that would be helpful from my point of view. I did have one more question, but I'll let Paul take it because I've just
Okay, so we're saying Dave is going to come back to you with to give you an idea of the turnover figures on.
They can see. Perhaps it could just be part of the next report that we get.
Would you be happy with that?
I'll be happy with that, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Paul?
Thank you. Again, I've got two sort of like interlinked questions that are both associated with regeneration. One of the things that I see as a member is that the capacity of our officers, which was originally very, very low and which was a real concern really to our risk, a lot of that is now going into regeneration, which is causing a vacuum in other parts of the council. I'm quite pleased to see that the score has increased slightly, although we're still in red. But what I'm really looking for is some reassurance that looking at the capacity within this council isn't all going to be focused strictly on regeneration. My second question, looking at regeneration also, is that we're told within the report that we're making steps in the right direction, which is fantastic and which I would totally buy into. However, the extent of improvement within our economy on the island doesn't seem to be as overwhelming as it is on the immediate mainland. And how can we address that with the capacity restrictions that we have in place at the moment? I'm sorry, it's a very, very long-winded question, but I'm sure that Stuart's probably more than excited to answer it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I'll pick up the regeneration issue first. You're right, until a year or so ago, we had no capacity at all. We have put in place two very competent officers. We have additional plans for more capacity there. And one of the things that we have said, where we are looking at very significant areas of regeneration, cost of putting together all of the background bits and infrastructure will be met from itself, so that people will be appointed on a project basis to carry that through. So that will give us the capacity that we need. You're right about the length of time it takes. Typically, small regens you can do within a year or two. Big ones like Newport Harbour are probably looking about 8 or 9 years. So it takes a long time. We recognise that. Having said that, the Isle of Wight's capacity, if you measure it by the growth in business rate, is actually better than our partners in Portsmouth and Southampton. Our base is very much lower, but our growth is quicker, and we want to see that continue. Obviously, there's a lot of things that will affect it, like the state of the economy and the individual companies. So we are trying to deal with that. You mentioned, Paul, that we might be hollowing out some areas because we're putting money into regen. We hope not to do that, but one area that we do recognise as being hollowed out, if we want to use that phrase, and it's relevant to the risk on page F2, sufficient staffing capacity and skills. One area where we are desperately lacking is a housing manager. We are a major housing authority and we do not have a housing development manager. That job at the moment is being carried by head of place. She has got more than enough on her plate with the other issues. Somehow or other we need to provide capacity in that area. At the moment our housing is being driven purely by developers. We're in their hands, as Chris will know when he's looking at the planning application. So that is an area we must address.
Okay. Can I very quickly come back on the head of place position? I know a few, you know, several months ago we were looking at getting a head of planning in place to be able to also support the same officer. And again, that vacancy also hasn't been filled. And are we looking to fill that vacancy as well? Because I think if we lost the head of place at the moment, we would be in a very, very difficult position. And I think we need to offer that member of staff as much support as we possibly can. Thank you.
I can confirm we've been talking in detail to the Chief Executive about how we manage both of those issues.
Thank you. I think Reg was next.
Sort of regeneration, but this council put, I don't know, many millions into this broadband across the island. The broadband that was going to put across the island, you're well aware of that, yeah. But as that finished, people asked me, they set up a business group in CU. The first thing on the agenda is better broadband. Is it finished or?
The project that you're referring to is the broadband intervention project, which is targeted to bring broadband into the rural areas of the island. The provider, BT, was tasked with delivering 98% capacity across the board. We put in a bit less than $2.5 million from council funds, and the rest came from government. The overall project was just under £5 million. That's actually completed. There are still little pockets of deprivation. I happen to live in one, so I know. I know very well what it's like. But what that project has done has provided us with a really good island-wide coverage for fibre to the cabinet, which gives capacity for increase in broadband speeds. But until you do the next link, which is fibre to the home, it doesn't give the huge capacities. What we have benefited from, though, is because we have got fibre to the cabinet in pretty well across the island, and we put in a lot more cabinets, I think, over 100 more green cabinets, it's enabled us to put forward a successful bid, which is a public-private partnership bid being led by White Fibre, and that is capable of delivering 1 gigabyte as fibre to the home, and that's going to produce about £35 million worth of investment. Now, I have to say, nobody has a clue yet what a gigabyte will do. But then again, 10 years ago, people were saying, dial-up's fine. And now we all need at least 10 meg. You know, of course, that government announced in December that as part of a universal service obligation, BT would have to provide a minimum of 10 megabytes to any premise that asks for it, and they have to do that within the next 2 years. So there are a couple of things that are actually on. But in terms of has the rural intervention projects finished, yes it has.
What's the cost of the user?
Sorry.
If someone's in CU and can't get any talk. Yeah. If he has a fibre to his house or a business, what's that going to cost him?
Once the fibre is there, then the arrangements are that any ISP can deliver a service. So then you start getting the competition between people like BT and TalkTalk and Virgin and so on. So I can't tell you what the actual cost will be, but it is likely that the higher speeds you want, the higher the cost will be.
Thank you.
Okay, Rich. Julie.
Thank you, Chair. Just sort of quickly touch back on PAN again. I heard from the Deputy Leader that the, or was it from Bill Connor now, about the possibility of the biomass not going forward, which he was necessary. because of the high costs. So I was on the planning committee at the time when Pam came forward, and it was a big, big thing, this biomass, how it's going to be great. So the massive environmental gain, which I think really kind of was pivotal in the decision that we made at the time. And I know we were talking sort of 7 years ago, but also around a similar time we had the Vestas plant, and that was supposed to have a green roof on it, a cedar roof, which is supposed to sort of obviously blend it into the countryside a bit more. And on the night, that was pulled out of committee. So my sort of concern is these environmental gains that are put forward as part of the planning application, how realistically tested are they? Is it just a bit of, you know, green dressing to put forward to get these big things through? Because they're obviously very, very complex, and sometimes I think it's a bit of a sideshow, if you want, sort of distraction from the main event.
I think probably we're straying a bit from the purpose of the audit committee. And I have to say, Jim, you're talking to the wrong person if you want someone to support renewable energy. I regard it as a gross waste of public money.
We won't take that any further for the moment. I agree, I think we're straying away a bit from the main meeting on this. Are there any more questions for Dave, please? In which case, can I thank you for coming along this morning, giving your report.